Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, news and good sports coming right at you. First, Bet Online. I'll tell you about sports, man. They're coming back. UFC, NASCAR, boxing, soccer. Bet Online has the best odds and lines for upcoming games. Yeah, it's coming back. It's time to have a little fun out there. Do a little wager. See what you can earn. Need more? Bet Online has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, casino games, poker tournaments, blackjack, and God knows what else. Prop bets as well. Fun, easy. Just visit betonline.ag, or you can use your mobile device with the promo code PODCAST1, and you can sign up. Get your sign-up bonus when you use the promo code PODCAST1. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at PODCAST1. Don't forget, promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So we've mentioned Chaz the last couple days, but it's no longer Chaz. Chaz is now Chop. So I'm going to give you some updates on the Chop situation in Seattle. Fox News reports that Seattle police officers have agreed to only enter the Capitol Hill organized protest, the Chop, to respond to significant life safety issues. That's according to the mayor's office. City officials and organizers occupying the area that was Chaz reached an agreement to remove temporary roadblocks set in place by protesters and replace them with concrete barriers. However, they're shrinking the space. So that was like six or seven blocks. Now it's three blocks, but it is set with concrete barriers.
Just like Little Italy.
That's right.
Well, a question. I'm very naive about this, but this is presumably where there's a bunch of businesses that would otherwise be open and people, I assume, living in high rises or something. And they're just kind of held hostage.
Glad you asked.
This group.
I'm going to touch on that. So on Monday, Chief Carmen Best denied that Seattle was under siege in any way after a business owner whose auto repair shop sits about a block outside the Chop's perimeters, but it's right there, called 911 over a dozen times to report that someone had broken in, stolen cash, car keys, attempted to light the building on fire. She said dispatchers and officers are coordinating with crime victims or callers to meet police on the edges of the occupied area, and they will only go in if there's an urgent situation. And remember, this was supposed to be a leaderless event, but they have found people that are kind of rising to the top that they can at least negotiate with, or else they're screwed.
Well, there's a fundamental problem that, again, it's kind of the death of math or reality, which is famously when Dr. Drew and I interviewed Chumbawamba, they were anarchists, you know, and I just say, well, how does it work? You know, and they'd go, hey, you know, one minute you're garbage man, but why don't you get to be a commercial airline pilot? And I was like, well, how would that work?
Well,
and it's like, well, you'd be a garbage man on Monday and then you fly 777 on Tuesday, you know, and I was like, and then what about your album? What about your music? Like, you worked hard on it. You had to pay engineers, equipment, you know, space and time and money. How would it work with your material? You know, and they were like, people just take it. Just take it. Just have it for free. And I'm like, but then how do you get paid? Or how does the engineer get paid? And so there's a math problem that just never fucking works.
In their defense, they were a very, very famous, successful musical group one day and trash collectors the next day.
Right.
So they live honestly.
Well, they got knocked down. I don't know if they got up again, but they definitely got knocked down. And so there's this thing where it's like, and I always look at it again as the internal combustion engine versus the wave of the future, the jet engine, you know, and it's like, I know you don't like this old dirty way of doing things known as capitalism, and some people are going to have more money than others, and then there's going to be people in charge of other people and people telling other people what to do and paying them for their time and service. But all we can do is try to evolve the system we have, which has evolved quite a bit over the years, but we can continue to evolve this system. The tear it down and start anew never works because capitalism isn't a system. It's what people do when you leave them alone. It's essentially, it's a piece of nature. If you just take people and leave them alone, they'll go, hey, what are you good at? It's like, I'm a good woodworker. All right, what are you good at? I'm good at shoeing horses. Hey, what are you good at? Blowjobs. Okay, I think we can work something out here. You need your roof thatched. I need my roof. I need my dick sucked. You need your horse done. Like, that's just what happens. You know, it's funny because people kind of go, my oldest thing I used to say on Loveline, which doesn't sound very interesting, but I always meant it when people go, how come men build the bridges and women are the nursery school teachers? I'd go, because that's the way it is. It's not like there was a decree that came down from, you know, the mountain and Muhammad and or the mountain came down with Moses. It's like that's what they gravitate to. That's how it works. Like when you leave people alone, this is the system that's created, warts and all. But this is the system that's great. You have to force communism. You have to force, you know, these, you know, we're living on a kibbutz. Okay, that's good for 31 people. But I mean, that's a forced system. When you just,
it's good for people. It's a self-selecting group. The people on the kibbutz want to be on the kibbutz.
Right, when you just kind of get out of the way, this is the system that arises. And there's nothing we can do about it other than try to make it fair and try to make, you know, make the playing field as even as possible and regulate it to some degree. But that's about it. This is the system.
Well, and, you know, the conversation we were just having with our guests, it rings so true in this particular case, because all night I have two TVs on in the news booth. And at some point in the night, I turn on Fox and CNN just because there's no more local news. And at the I may have taken a picture, but at the same time, they were both talking about CHOP. Or Chaz or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the takes were so different. Me sitting in a news booth, you know, it, you know, obviously I, you know, we're just reporting the facts, but I'm thinking, I don't, if somebody asks me, what do you think of this zone? I'm going to say, I have no idea. Because I mean, the takes were so different. I don't know who to follow. You know, so you'd, like you said, you kind of have to split the difference. This is anarchy. They're destroying people's businesses and they're taking each other hostage, or the exact opposite. And it's just like, I feel like the people who consume the most news know the least in terms of opinion, because it's just coming at you from so many different angles.
Well, it's both, you know, they'll try to spin it like it's like, oh, it's a summer fair, like a street fair,
right,
type
Coachella
environment. And then the other guys will spin it like it's a militant, you know, paramilitary group out of control.
Right.
It's probably both simultaneously. It's guys with guns and people, you know, braiding God's eyes.
Just there for the day.
Together
yeah.
with yarn. But either way, it shouldn't exist. It's a breakdown of the rule of law. I've been talking about this for a long time. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the family. It doesn't really work micro and it doesn't work macro. It just doesn't work. Unfortunately, you need an authority figure. We don't like authority figures anymore, but whether it's a football coach, a principal, a cop, or a dad, we need a little more of that injected into society.
Well, Seattle, I think, is case in point, because you have people, I mean, I guess you could just go in there and kind of mow it all down and just be like, no, you got to go. But they're looking for the leaders. They're giving them cinder block concrete barriers just to sort of negotiate and keep the peace. And, you know, we've all visited Seattle, you know, the last couple of years we've done shows there, and there's a lot of tough parts of town in Seattle, a lot of rough and scary parts of town. So this kind of, it's a perfect place for something like this to happen.
Got to get Janet Reno. Got to get her back.
Rolling
the tanks. All right.
The Trump administration does not seem to want you to read The Room Where It Happened. That's the new book by former National Security Advisor John Bolton, which is set for a June 23rd release just a few days away.
I know. When I woke up this morning, that was the only book ahead of my book on Amazon.
Fuck that guy.
But I was
you got to take him down.
Unfair advantage. Come on. If you're going to spill all the beans about what Trump said in the Oval Office versus me complaining about people flying with their dogs, that's unfair.
Yeah, we're going to need more than what he said on the set of The Apprentice. We need the Oval Office. Right.
Can we all get on the same page now? Because I just want to get it out there. Are we going to believe what's in the book? Are we going to dismiss what's in the book? Because there's going to be a lot of massaging or revisionist history going on, I think, in the next couple of weeks.
It depends who has their way, maybe, because the Trump administration claims that it contains classified information that could compromise national security. Basically, that they get a first look at these types of things and that John Bolton signs something saying as such. So in a statement this week, Bolton said the book includes some earth-shaking descriptions about his time working with Trump. Bolton also confirmed details about Trump's dealings with Ukraine, which were a key part of the Democrats' case to impeach. The DOJ claims that Bolton is sidestepping a government review that he agreed to for any book before he took his job in 2018. They're suing Bolton for breach of contract for breaking basically a confidentiality agreement. And it's with Simon and Schuster. I mean, they're not, you know, I think they know a thing or two about book publication and distribution. And it's very rare for the White House to sue to delay the publication of a book.
Trump is going to benefit. So back in the day, you know, Woodward and Bernstein would write All the President's Men. I guess that was a book, and they made a movie about it, whatever. And then that was the just sort of go-to Watergate, blow the lid off it. That's it. Carved in stone from your mouth to God's, from God's mouth to your ears is what that was. Everybody from Omarosa to any, you know, Scaramucci, everyone now writes a book, right? So it's so flooded and diluted that even if everything in it is true, Trump gets to go, oh, another hater, fake news, cashing a check, making a deal. So it's sort of kind of what I've always been saying about, like, stop calling everyone a racist. Wait for someone to be a racist and then call them a racist. Because if you start calling everyone a racist, then now no one's a racist. You know what I mean? Like, so there's been so many hit books on Trump over the last few years that now it's like, oh, another disgruntled employee is going to go, you know, it's like lawsuits. It's like all the slip and falls and all stuff. Eventually it's like, you don't know if the person's a victim or not anymore. It's just, oh, it's another payday. And that's the danger of this.
Do you think that's the product of the era we're in, where it's like the more these things come out, or the more they're published, or whatever, it's like it dilutes the waters? Versus maybe back in the Woodward and Berenstein days, had there been 10 books about whatever, it would be like, oh my God, they just keep piling up. It just keeps going and going and going.
I think there needs to be a kind of a definitive record of an event or an administration or what have you. And if we get 50 different versions of an administration or an event or whatever it is, it ends up getting diluted as I think about it. I haven't been on the Amazon. I haven't checked around or poked around the Amazon bestseller list for a while, 'cause I'm not an avid reader per se. I did go on recently to see where my book was, and it struck me that it seemed like out of the top 50 books, 26 of them were Trump books, and 17 of them were racist books, like Am I a White Racist or How to Deal with Your Privilege or whatever. It's like all racist, all Trump. One cookbook in my book, like that. That's about it.
It's the anarchist cookbook,
right? That's all that's on there anymore. It's like that's the new world order. And go ahead, Brian.
No, I finished what you were saying. Is that a follow up question after that?
I'm just saying, I don't know how many books you can read about you being a racist before you just kind of tune out a little bit. Like I there used to be kind of a definitive book on race, or definitive book on the Nixon administration, or whatever it is, and that we'd all gather around it and use it like it was a textbook, like a history book. Like, could you imagine in the ninth grade having 35 history books, all sort of different?
No, there was a history book.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Brian.
Nice. You, Adam, you just wrote a book. You've written several books. I wrote a book, and you've described this process more than once, which I totally identified with, which is whether your book's about cancer or jokey jokes or dogs on planes, the lawyer will call you and pore over the details in your book. And no matter how fucking innocuous it is, or like, if it's my story about my cancer, like, did this really happen on this date? Are you 100% sure? But like, they are so afraid, anti-litigious, I guess is the word. I don't know what the word is, but like, what are the chances that this is not to be believed? You know what I mean? Or that this is falsified. It would be insane if this passed by lawyers being false.
I don't know how it works. I know I went through that process more than once. I was
about your parents.
I was asked. I must be the only author on the planet that's ever asked if her parents were litigious people. Like, he was basically saying, you're going to get sued by your own parents if they ever read this book. I don't know how it works with Bolton or Omarosa. Like, do they just go, this is what happened? And, or maybe they just assume they're going to get sued anyway, and it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that process the process that you and I went through, I'm assuming they're going through it as well. I'm number one in political humor, ideologies, and doctrines, humor and entertainment, self-help and psychology humor, motivational and self-help as well we speak. All right, let me hit Butcher Box. You want to be number one in delectable protein? Butcher Box, 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild-caught seafood. Delivered to your door, less than $6 per meal. Olga made the salmon last night. It was so good. Left the skin on. So tender.
Got to eat that.
Yep. I'll feed it to Phil. But either way, it's good stuff.
Eat it, man. It's
I'll save it for Max Zapata. You want to make sure that everyone is safe, and they've done that over at Butcher Box. They've taken all the precautions, and to make sure the farmers and partners and team members are all safe, they started a wait list for new members. So you can sign up to reserve your spot, and you'll get an email when they're ready to take your order, because they want to play it safe, but they want to get you some of the best product in the world. Choose from four curated box options or the custom box, so you get exactly what you want and the stuff your family loves, and they get it. You sign up for delivery frequency as well, as much as you want it. Frozen for freshness and packed into eco-friendly 100% recyclable box. This stuff is top shelf. It's better than it needs to be. It's Butcher Box, right, Dawson?
Butcher Box is gradually welcoming new customers, but only if you're on the wait list. Reserve your spot today at butcherbox.com/Adam, and you'll get an email when they're ready to take your order. That's butcherbox.com/Adam to reserve your spot.
Oh. Personal audiobook is number one in personal success. And she'll, all right, I don't care about all the categories anymore. What position are we in the audiobook? 11 still? Well, we'll figure it out. All right. Sorry, Gina. Go ahead.
Well, your crystal brain strikes again. I'm pretty sure when you mentioned this the other day, it was a joke, but also you doing a little fortune telling. There is a logo. There are actually two logos that are about to be changed, but one of them we will focus on. She's an ant. She's delicious.
Oh, Aunt Jemima. Pour
it over pancakes.
Yeah.
That's right. Aunt Jemima getting a new name and a new image. Quaker Oats announced it's retiring the brand and logo, acknowledging Aunt Jemima's origins are based on racial stereotypes. There have been calls to remove the logo for many years. Now, remember, I'm sorry, I don't think I sent this as a picture to show you, but remember, up until 1989, that was the, like, really stereotypical Aunt Jemima with, like, the headscarf, and it was much more stereotypical. After that, they kind of softened the image, modernized it a little, but it's still not working. Apparently, the brand was inspired by a song titled Old Aunt Jemima, which was performed by a minstrel performer in the 1800s. The logo was created in 1890 based on a woman named Nancy Green. She was a storyteller, cook, and missionary worker. Although the image has been modernized over the years.
Storyteller, cook?
Yeah.
Did you say?
Storyteller, comma, cook.
Oh, because you don't want storyteller, cook. That's a lot of spit in your grits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like her just waxing on over that open pot. How long
before, tell you about okra.
How long before Uncle Ben is on the chopping block?
Uncle Ben's Rice is following suit and will be changing its logo as well.
There you go.
Well, look, I say turnabout is fair play, black people. We're getting rid of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Sorry.
And gone. The Michelin Man.
Yeah. Okay. You loved him. It was beloved. Part of your childhood. Gone.
Bounty guy, you're both out.
Yeah, you're out. How do you like us now? We're getting a Puerto Rican guy in there. Yeah, we should start tearing down all the cultural white icon folks. Oh. The bounty guy. Yeah.
So many.
Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean, I was going to say.
Mr. Bald Clean,
icon.
Gone.
Got to go.
Got to go. That's right.
By the way, I really wanted to think of this 35 seconds ago, and I couldn't when you said a storyteller spitting in your soup, and I kept saying Calamity Jane in my head. Typhoid Mary.
Mm.
Typhoid Mary was a cook, didn't know she was sick.
Oh, is that what happened?
Sick. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Max Pata writes, Quaker Oats guy. That guy's got to go. He's going.
He's public enemy number one.
That motherfucker's a landowner.
He's going.
Look at him.
Yeah.
So Reuters reports that
here's how you know you have a bad childhood. When containers become a big part of your childhood. The Quaker Oats container is like, you can't throw this out.
No, no, no.
It's round and it stands on its own. We could use it. We could color it. We could put other things in it. Like when you start looking, just look at when Arco gas stations were like giving out a Rams cup for every time you filled up, or just some stupid IHOP giveaway or collect
little
and
glass
trade.
Tumblers you'd get at Burger King or McDonald's,
or even like they had jelly that came in a weird mug, you know, and you'd use
with
it
with a handle,
even a Sucrets container, like a little metal container. It's got a snap lid. You don't throw that out. Yes.
You're describing my grandpa's house.
Yes.
I almost threw away a mayonnaise jar in his house. I thought Christmas was canceled.
All right. I know. My grandparents were the same way. I grew up that same way. Oh, God. Way back in the day, my dad smoked cigars, and there'd be a cigar box. Cigar box that's got a hinge flap on it. I mean, that thing's sturdy. You could put Hot Wheels in there and pot later on. Like, containers were a big ass deal.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't the case anymore, but we buy this 4-year-old everything he wants. I mean, he has more toys than I've ever seen in 20 lifetimes. And the kid loves coffee cans. He loves spaghetti jars. He loves toilet paper rolls. We're not allowed to throw anything away because it's a drum set. It's a sword. It's like, I will buy you whatever you want. Can I?
Yay! One of the second saddest days of my young life after the time I brushed my teeth with Vagisil, which was a bad, bad mistake. There was that time.
Have I made this joke before? It sounds like you're bragging about how much pussy you get. I brushed my teeth with Vagisil.
Smell Nick Nolte's mustache. Smells like Vagisil. So there's another time, too, again, in the nothing to do, no money and nowhere to go department. I remember once fishing a tampon applicator out of the garbage and using it like a telescope, you know? Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't know what it was. It's like two pieces of cardboard. They were connected. They moved. It had a value to me. Yeah, like a raccoon.
Was it multicolored?
No, it was just
okay.
It was all white. It was all white.
It was peppermint color. It was a candy cane.
Yeah, looked like the front of a barber shop.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom would put a lot of English on her tampons, evidently. She did it with a certain joie de vivre.
Fucking Raleigh fingers out there.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I remember that, pulling it out of the trash can and holding it up. Like, ooh, I'm Hobo Kelly. I can see everybody. Yeah. They were lean times. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I got nothing. That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Although the Vagisil stuck with me because the tampon applicator, I didn't know what it was. I didn't figure that out later.
Vagisil, you'd find out soon enough. Once in your mouth.
Almost immediately. Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of communicable diseases, Reuters reports that coronavirus infections hit record highs in six U.S. states on Tuesday, marking a rising tide of cases for a second consecutive week. As most states move forward with reopening, and one of those states, Arizona, Florida, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Texas, all reported record increases in new cases on Tuesday. After recording all-time highs last week, Nevada also reported its highest single-day tally. They were up from May 23rd, and hospitalizations are also rising. That's really the one you focus on, because more infections could mean better testing, more testing. But hospitalizations, if they're rising, that's an indicator.
Hospitalizations and deaths; those are the two, and any incapacities at hospitals scare me as well. Like the thing where the cases go up and even the hospitalizations go up. Well, sadly, we're opening the economy. That's going to happen. That has to happen. It'd be weird if it didn't, but it's the deaths and the hospitalizations. And I guess they don't put anyone on ventilators anymore, right?
They definitely do.
They do?
Yeah, but
I saw a story today that Arizona was 80% of their ventilators are being used. Chris can verify that, but it was some insane number.
Oh, I thought
our ventilators.
I thought ventilators were certain death.
I think it's coinciding with that might be true. I think it's coinciding with where it's spiking. Like, I don't think California is having a dearth of ventilators, but Arizona is.
Also, then I heard about, was I talking to Drew about this, another, not a vaccine, but another remedy?
There's like three major companies working on vaccines, and it's possible that we would get something akin to a vaccine. I don't know if Dr. Drew said
no.
This
to you. Steroid.
Way before.
There was some steroid that seemed to work or stave it off or be effective in the whatever version of it. There's some new steroid treatment now that it's an old steroid that they're finding some positive results about here. All right. I'll let the expat find that. Let me hit LifeLock. April 15th tax deadline was pushed to July 15th, but the extension gives more time for hackers to mine your data and to sell it. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk, and we put it all out there on the internet. Cyber criminals, they keep finding new ways to steal your identity. You could miss threats. You're just monitoring your credit. You got to get LifeLock. You have to protect yourself. You're out there. Look, it's the most convenient thing in the world. You're doing all your shopping now. You're having food brought to your home. Everything is being done on the internet. Good. You don't have to leave the house. Stay home where it's safe. But your information is out there, and the hackers are trying to get to it. And that's why you need the protection of LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right, Gina, what else? And Max Bat, you can look for that article out of Arizona about the ventilators as we speak.
Yeah, I thought you wanted me to look for the steroids.
Oh, that's all right. The steroid is Dexima, blah, 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 and it shows helps severely ill corona patients, according to scientists in Britain, which is good because the other things we talked about didn't help once you were severely ill. So maybe if we get one when you're severely ill, maybe that'll be helpful.
Is it dexamethasone or
something
like that? That's
it, yeah.
Yeah, I was on that for when I was on Avastin years ago.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I would get that with the infusion.
So safe and effective and been around. So good.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll work. All right, what do we got, Gina Grad?
Well, alcohol sales may have boomed during the lockdown, but returning to air travel, going to be a very different story. Really want your take on this, Adam, because I don't know I can't remember if this affected you on the plane or not. Airlines, including EasyJet and KLM, those are in Europe, Delta Airlines, American Airlines here in the U.S., Asia's Virgin Australia, are suspending all or part of their alcoholic drink service in response to COVID-19. It's supposed to minimize interaction between crew and passengers. And we know you had the canned water and party mix. It's so delicious. Many airlines are limiting drink options to water only. Face masks must be kept on except if you're eating or drinking. And they just want to make the eating and drinking so unappealing that you just keep your mask on, I would imagine.
Well, I'm always obsessed. I have an obsession with the placement of the backpack, and it's not my obsession. It's their obsession with the placement of the backpack. As I've said, it's always duffel bag goes overhead, backpack sits on my lap, usually trying to get stuff out of it or deal with it. Always a long discussion about where it needs to go. You know, and if you're sitting on the bulkhead, it's got to go up in the overhead. You can't have it on your lap. But then I thought, well, if the New World Order is there's an open seat between me and my roommate, meaning Mike's on one side and I'm on the other, and that seat in the middle is always open, why can't I set my backpack on that seat?
It's
where a human being would normally be. No can do. It's got to go on the ground, and it can't go on the ground. It's got to be stuffed in front of the seat in front of you. And there's always an obsession over that. As a matter of fact, in recent years, I'd say there's more of an obsession over the backpack versus the seatbelt. I've not been admonished about the seatbelt not being buckled, or maybe they can't see it as clearly, is a lot of passes and explanations on where that backpack needs to be and how you can't hang on to it and how it can't be on the seat. It can't be in the bulkhead. It's got to be stuffed. It's not far enough under the seat in front of you. I've always thought about that. I'm not sure where the obsession lies. And it's not like we open the newspaper every Monday and go, another air disaster. Flight experts
could have
claim,
been avoided.
They blame the backpack. Yeah. Someone tripped over a backpack. They couldn't get to the emergency exit, and they saw a fiery death.
Were people wearing masks on your flight?
Yeah. Everyone was wearing a mask, but again, it's very catch as catch can. Like, you have a lot of people with the nose hanging out over the top right of the mask. You have a lot of people pulling the mask down to like talk or take a drink and then slide the mask back up. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of daylight between the bridge of the nose and where the mask hits. Like, it's something, but it is
not optimal.
I'll put it to you this way. If you ever see those clean rooms that SpaceX runs or NASA runs or some pharmaceutical company, 90% of the people on that plane wouldn't cut muster in one of those clean rooms, as far as that they'd be shown the door. They'd be like, you got to put your fucking mask on, right? This is not, it's not symbolic here.
Did they offer alcohol?
No, there's no more alcohol. There's no more food. There's no more anything. And I suspect that most companies, airlines included, you know, they have stuff they want, but if they can't just do it, because then everyone would go, what the fuck? And I don't, you know, they're pushing. We were discussing this the other day. It'd be interesting to find out your opinion and the opinion of, you know, and the actual math on it. But they push that cart up and down the aisle. It takes them a long time. They have jack-offs like Mike August ordering his, like, cranger ale or whatever. And he's like, I want ginger ale and orange juice and cranberry juice. And it's all free. I mean, that part of it's free. You know, they're, like, mixing and matching and getting the ice. And it seems like kind of a calorie burner for them. Now, they do sell drinks, but you take those flights, like you're flying out of Phoenix at 10 a.m. Like, how much are they making on booze on that flight? Oftentimes, seems like about half the time I've ordered a drink on the flight, they kind of just went like, yeah, let's take it. Fine. You know, it's okay. Like, I haven't been I have a batting average for booze on a flight that I'd say 40% of the time they go, don't worry about it. They just keep going. So I don't think
Southwest is very liberal with their drink coupons. They could be like, mine's up above. And don't worry about it.
So I don't think it's a big source of revenue for them. I do feel like it's a big hassle for them. And anytime you can slide something under the umbrella of safety, then you can get rid of it. And then also, if all the other airlines are doing it simultaneously, then you're not going to be the one that stands out. So I think they're using this as their opportunity to get rid of something they would have liked to have gotten rid of anyway. And my feeling is that's fine, but you just have to kind of reflect it in the ticket price. It didn't seem like they wanted to do the meals. They didn't seem like they wanted to do the drinks. It seemed like they wanted to do less and less of that. And look, think about what it used to be, sort of pre-coronavirus. I mean, just think about how it was in the 60s and the 70s, you know, pheasant under glass and coach, you know, rolling out big silver carts and everything like you're at Lawry's, you know.
Real silverware. Silverware,
right, right. Yeah. So the kind of
stemware.
They kind of use 9/11 to do a lot of that, too. Like, OK, now it's a focus on safety. We're not handing out the drinks until we get up to altitude and stuff like that. So whenever I see them implementing something and doing it universally, I'm assuming it's something they wanted to do in the first place. So I'll just reverse engineer it. Let's say the airlines benefited greatly from serving alcoholic drinks and turned a tidy profit on it. Do you think they would be saying we can't do it now because of this close contact? We're running. Not. We're bumping.
He's saying only alcoholic drinks.
You go to take a leak. You walk to the back of the airplane and you bump into someone who's walking out of the bathroom. There's no science to it. The airplane is seven feet wide. There's the airplane. You know, we're flying a 737. The 737 is 10 foot wide and there's 130 people on that flight. Like, where are we going? How's this going to work? Some of them are wearing masks. Others are, you know, getting the snack mix, pulling the mask down, taking a handful of snack mix, pulling the mask back up. I mean, it ain't a science. It's mostly window dressing, and I would assume the booze. I'll tell you, this is going to benefit the folks that make the travelers, right? Like the little booze bottles. You got to
full size for Brad Williams.
You got to be armed. You got to be armed with one of those when you get on a flight.
Roll your own.
Brad did take the picture, by the way. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, he
did he take the picture? Yep.
With the booze bottle and the thimble.
He sure did. Yep.
Was it a red thimble? Was that my problem with it?
Yeah, that's right.
I need the Monopoly set thimble, but yes. Thank you, Brad Williams. I appreciate it. Oh, you have Arizona info. Yeah, ventilators.
So according to the Arizona Republic, their biggest newspaper, ventilator use for suspected and confirmed positive COVID patients was at its highest on Monday with 340 patients on ventilators. Now, their governor said that the entire time they've been focused on a possible worst-case scenario with surge capacity for hospital beds and ventilators, ICU beds, those are not needed or necessary right now, and that a second stay-at-home order is not under discussion. And also, there is no requirement for everyone to wear masks in public.
Well, good. We're going to Tempe, and we'll be at the Improv on the 3rd and the 4th. Doing a live podcast and stand-up there as well. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right, well, I generally wouldn't end with this, but I did just get a notification on my phone. Actor Daniel Masterson, Danny Masterson, you know, Hyde from the 70s Show, charged with raping three women, according to Fox 11. This is just hot off the presses.
Which one is he?
Was it the 70s Show?
Yeah, the guy that always wore the aviators.
Oh, yeah.
The cool guy.
Scientologist.
That's right.
Is he? Wow.
Yes. And so these are from 2001, 2003, and I'm looking for the third one. If convicted as charged, he faces a possible maximum sentence of 45 years to life in state prison. But I think they're just getting the ball rolling on this.
Wow. Well, you know, when we kind of redefine the definition of rape, once we redefined it, when we kind of turned it into, you know, if people were drunk or if, you know, any unwanted advance or whatever, when we got pretty when we broadened, pardon the pun, the definition of rape, and then you take all these guys who go from zero to hero, go from nobody and unrecognizable on big TV shows. I mean, I got to tell you, I was on MTV in the 90s. You would go, if I went to a strip club or even a bar, like I went to a bar in Manhattan when I was, I don't know, 1997, 1998, maybe it was the height of MTV Loveline. Two chicks come up to me and go like, hey, want to go back to our room and basically watch us, you know, or party with us or whatever. Under the current definition of rape, any of that shit could have fallen under that umbrella. Now we'll figure out what he did and how severe it was.
I can tell you what the counts are. He was charged with three counts of rape by force or fear in separate incidents occurring between 2001 and 2003.
Force or fear?
Force or fear.
They've been investigating him since 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have to actually read the article, but let's see. Masterson and two other cases, one for insufficient. Okay. Additionally, the DA's office declined to file sexual assault charges against Masterson in two other cases, one for insufficient evidence and the other based upon the statute of limitations for the crime. A warrant was filed for his arrest on Tuesday.
I bet you Kutcher's not taking his calls anymore. No fucking way.
No.
And he hasn't done anything since that show, or has he?
He did the, did he do the ranch?
Yeah,
yeah, he was dropped from the show when the charges were being.
Yeah,
oh, he's dropped from the ranch.
With Ashton Kutcher.
With Kutcher on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy edits on that show. Wow. All right. Well,
so we'll follow that.
We'll keep it up. We'll keep you posted. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, Geico. Everyone is doing a lot of sharing these days. Your DIY haircut fails and your inner lip sync stars. And Geico wants to share a little, too. They're doing a give back. 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Geico's committed to long haul. So the 15% credit lasts your full policy term, everybody. So visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility at geico.com. Hey, quick reminder, if you're going to get my book, please leave a review. It just helps y'all. And thanks in advance for that. You can get those at Amazon, wherever you get books, you can get them. Live events, what I told you, just go to adamcarolla.com and find out when we're doing a live show or a stand-up near you. And go to youtube.com/adamcarolla. Putting a lot of our unprepareds up there. I want to thank Dan Dunn for coming in here. Mm-hmm. I want to thank, or Skyping in here, whatever, Zooming in here. I want to thank Bob Guccione Jr. and Daniel Kahn. Cohen, I should say, for coming in here, too, with the spin. Until next time, this is Adam. For all them and Gina Grad saying, mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return for Good Sports right after this.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Yesterday, we talked about what the 19 could do to the 2020 NFL season. And before that, there is plenty of talk and guarantees or promises that all the other big sports are going to resume in advance of the NFL kicking off. That's, of course, the most important one. But baseball among them, Ace, we keep talking about this. You've fallen asleep on any number of occasions when I start talking about who's in first place in this division in baseball in June or July. How many games are left? How far in front of last place are they? 3.5 games? Terrific. I really feel like baseball is doomed in this way if they don't play in 2020 in the same way that the analogy I thought of was in Sex and the City, Samantha is the one who's the tramp, right? She throws it all over the five boroughs.
Yeah, that's right.
Samantha, but she comports herself in such a way that she still fancies herself a 25-year-old vixen who's got the world on a string. And in that heightened reality or fiction, she could still trade on her sexuality late in life, but the reality would be like, what are you doing, old lady? Stop trying to woo me. Baseball seems to operate under this assumption like, yeah, but we're baseball. America needs us. Like, I don't think you've noticed baseball. People are ready to move on, man. True or false?
Yeah, there's sort of that, you know, like sometimes when people open a pizzeria and they put world famous above it and they go, well, that's enough to get people in the door. And it's like, you have to make really good pizza consistently. So, you know, being sort of America's pastime and you know, everyone waxing poetic about it, all that. That was good for a while, but we're turning the page pretty fast. I mean, I was just looking at the Sosa and Maguire doc that 30 for 30. Yeah, I watched probably the first hour of it, and those were the go-go, you know, late 90s, and the fans were coming out, and they were interested, and they did have a lot of competition and intrigue. And I remember when they were getting down to the end of the season to see who would have the most dingers, and I'm not a baseball fan, but I was paying attention. As I said, my son's 14. I don't know that he could name an MLB-er. I don't know that he knows the name. You know, that it's interesting. Gary, hit up Sonny.
I was just going to say, get him on the phone and let's see if he can go. Let's do an over under. That's a fun little thing to gamble on. Let's do that right now. Let's bet on your young son's aptitude where Major League Baseball is concerned. I'm going to lay the over under at, I think you're sleeping on him a little bit because he likes fantasy sports, at least fantasy football. This leads me to believe that he's come across statistics. I'm going to set the over under of Major League Baseball players Sonny can name at 3.5. You're going under that?
Well, you know, he might get out like a Mike Trout type.
Right. And he's got two localish teams that he can kind of lean on. So he should be able to get Clayton Kershaw. He might crumble under the game show pressure. People always sit at home and watch and think it's so easy. But of course, once the white lights come on and that ignores Sonny's ongoing desire to please and wow the old man. That's a kind of pressure that we can't even fathom.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Let's do this. Let's have fun. All right, hold on 1 second. Hear the rules.
He can hear you on hold.
Okay,
just FYI.
Sonny can hear me. Fine. Hear the rules. Let's say we'll give him 30 seconds.
Okay.
And we'll ask him, how many NFL players can he name in 30 seconds?
Fun.
And Gary will keep a tally.
We'll put the timer up on your screen.
And then we'll ask him how many NBA players he can name in 30 seconds. And then we'll go to Major League Baseball. And we'll see how those numbers sort of comport with one another. And then you'll kind of know where his interests are. So even if you got 5 MLBers, that's fine, but if you have 71 NFLers, then we'll know what his interest is.
30 seconds, Sonny will get 20 NFL guys, he'll get 14 NBA guys, and he will get 4 baseball guys. That's my prediction right now. I'm laying it out there now.
Sonny?
All right.
Yes. What are you doing, by the way?
I'm just sitting in my room. I'm probably going to go to the studio with Mom pretty soon.
Oh, man. What a life you have. You have the...
Thanks.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome.
Thanks. See, that's classy. He knows where it's coming from.
All right, we're going to put you up on the clock. We're going to fire up the clock. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Gary, you'll just make a check for every NFL player and check.
You got it.
Cross at 5 and we'll add it up.
A buzzer will go off when that 30 seconds is
up. Okay. Is there a rule like current players only or
anybody? I'll take any NFL, any baseball, but we'll start with the NFL. Any player.
Okay.
All right. Now, you ready? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Gary, are you ready? And begin.
Zeke, Odell Beckham, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tom Brady, Vontaze Burfict, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Julio Jones, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, DeAndre Hopkins, Drew Brees, Jerry Rice, Peyton Manning, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson, Chris Harris Jr., Lou Kuechly, Tony Pollard, Michael Thomas, Andrew Luck,
We got it.
Richard Sherman. How much was that?
Excellent.
I know Mom is probably standing next to you with a dry erase board that said Ed Bodilac on it and was pointing at it frantically, but he couldn't pronounce Bodilac. He was like waving her off, but I appreciate it. Was it Ed Bodilac or Pete Bodilac? I can't remember.
Ed Podolak was a peak. He had the great Chiefs face mask that didn't across the top right. bar. Then cross it was just drilled in with a couple of screws into his
Podolak. Yeah. Yeah.
How many names did I get? Like
Gary,
you want me to reveal it now?
No, don't reveal it now. Let's go. Now, hold on. Let's go to the NBA. We'll put 30 seconds up on the clock. Are you ready, okay. Sonny?
Yeah. Here, yeah,
and,
I'm ready.
And go.
Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Giannis, Jason Tatum, Chris Paul, Carl Anthony Towns, Zion Williamson, Blake Griffin, Rajon Rondo, Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, Devin Booker, Mike Conley, Steph Curry, De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Love, Vince Carter, James Harden, Buddy Hield, Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Trae Young, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Devontae Graham, Serge Ibaka.
All right, all right. Okay. I like in the football you got Vontaze Burfict now.
That was a good one.
You want to talk about a role model.
I said Antonio Brown, and I was thinking Vontaze Burfict.
Well, you said Vontaze Burfict. I like that. And well. Again, I don't allow Sonny to put up posters in a room, his room, that are non-biblically based. But the Vontaze Burfict poster is the only one I will allow him to display.
Like the New Testament scriptures hanging around Sonny's room. I admire his nimble young brain. I think I'm so old now. My brain doesn't function as quickly as Sonny's clearly does. Those are all off the top of your head, Sonny. You're not looking at a laptop or anything like that.
No, just off the top of my head.
All right. And he does. I'll tell you what this kid has besides it. He's got integrity. He doesn't lie. He says he's not looking at the phone. He's not looking at the phone. All right. One last round, this time using Major League Baseball players. Ready? Go.
Yeah. Babe Ruth. Mike Trout.
Mike Trout.
Derek Jeter. Puig, whatever that guy's name is. let's see.
Well, you made it.
I can't believe it, Ace. You nailed. You know Sonny, obviously. That was amazing.
Now, I was sort of thinking, initially, I was thinking current players, you know, but we just opened up the whole category, which is fine. But yes, if you factor in the Babe Ruths, and I knew he knew Mike Trout for some reason, but that's a sad testimonial to where we're at. We have two major league franchises here for Sonny to call off of. And Gary, give us the final tally, please.
Yeah, so and with a rewind button, you know, I might be off by one or two, but the way we counted them in here, NFL 22, NBA 28, and MLB I'm gonna call 3.5 because Puig.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe four.
We'll call 4. Sheck said 4. That was his over under. Well, there you go. That's how the sport's going.
That is grim news. Legitimately, anecdotal though it may be, I know Sonny. Sonny's my guy. He knows sports. He's a young guy, but can handle himself in a good sports debate. And that he could get the first one was Babe Ruth, Puig, and the Yankees legend Derek Jeter. That's as best as he could do. That should be disconcerting for MLB going forward.
Sonny, do you have many of your friends that play Little League baseball?
Yeah, a lot of my friends play baseball.
Oh, they do?
But, yeah.
But you don't?
No.
And no. I don't see many of those friends who you claim play baseball. I mean, I know...
I can name off. I mean, there's a lot of them are just on one team, and they always go to Coopertown, I think, and they in like New York, and they play in like tournaments each year. They're not like my good friends, like they're not like Jensen or Nathan, but
right. I'm talking about like out of your good friends who you hang with. What How many of those guys play baseball?
Probably like my friends I hang out with, probably like maybe like three or four.
All right, buddy.
Same number you can name in the history of baseball.
Right. All right. I'll see you at the studio.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the help. Wait, where's Cooperstown?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York. Yeah, there you go. Where did he say it was?
He said New York.
Oh, he said New York? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it's upstate New York. Okay. All right, let me hit a sad state of affairs for Major League Baseball, but not too shabby for Bet Online. If you want to get a little wagering in these days, you can do it at Bet Online. They have UFC, boxing, NASCAR. Definitely back in a big way. Soccer's back. BetOnline has all the odds and all the lines for all the upcoming games and matches. So go there and make it interesting. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening every day for you to check out. Also, live casino games, poker tournaments, the best props in the business. Visit their website or use your mobile device and join today. Get in on some of this stuff. It's fun and makes it interesting. BetOnline, that's our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Sign up for a free account with your promo code Podcast One, and you'll get your sign-up bonus. So visit betonline.ag. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right,
good times, good call with getting sunny in there. Cooperstown, New York, named after Brewers first baseman Cecil Cooper. I'm not sure if that's true. We'll check on it. But Friday, good sports coming at you. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, good sports out. Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get Adam's new book. I am your emotional support animal. All the links are at adamcarolla.com.
Well, we're all apart these days, but we're sharing more. That's good news. And Geico, I'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your dance moves, your DIY haircut fails, your inner lip sync stars. And now they'd like to share a little something with you. Geico's going to give back 15%. That's 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers because Geico's committed to the long haul. And we're all in it together. And they understand you're not driving as much as you used to, so they're kicking some back. 15% credit. Last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback. That's geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.